So, you know, I think I've said enough mostly on this folder so far. I think I'm at the 8th video, could be the 7th video, or audio cast as I call it. I don't like to call it a podcast because I don't like advertising, you know, Apple's, you know, brand names. So I call it an audio cast. But I think I've covered like most of the stuff that you need to be aware of. If, you know, if you just woke up in 2020, you're now, you know, it's now 2025, and for 5 years you've been aware that there's something not quite right about the world, and you spent like 5 years adjusting to it. The chances are you're still in connection with people who are gaslighting you to believe that what you are seeing, what you're experiencing, is like a mental delusion. But they've got a vested interest in keeping you convinced that your own experience, believing your own eyes, is something you should not do. Be very, very careful. These people can be in your family. These people can be in your friends group. And if you're not to believe yourself, and if they're trying to, you know, encourage you and bully you and pressure you not to believe yourself, that is a very, very serious predicament that you need to get out of. It's been 5 years, and you know, maybe you've been lucky enough to come across the so-called nutty conspiracy theorists, finding out what we're really all about. And you know, as I've said in this, what it's like to be a nutty conspiracy theorist, you know, I'm going to go further into that, you know, because there's a whole social construct. We are like a kind of ethnicity, and it was a lot of the people who support all the totalitarian measures which you're seeing in the world, and you're not imagining it, they are there and they ought not to be there. And there's lots of people that support it. They'll never admit that they support it. They'll just convince you that you're just imagining things. This is called gaslighting within, you know, conspiracy theorist circles. And I'm going to refer to myself as a conspiracy theorist because that's where you came from. Believe it or not, I also came from that background. Before the phrase conspiracy theorist was invented, I had no concept of what was really going on in the world. I used to believe in Santa Claus until I worked that one out, you know. But I used to believe that the police were the good guys and the robbers were the bad guys, and the politicians were the people who were in charge of the police, so they were the really, really good guys. And, you know, things that were not being reported in the news were happening, like very extreme events were happening, you know, which led to your modern suicide clinics and surveillance state apparatus and the various crimes against humanity that's decried in the Nuremberg Code, the International Covenant on Political Rights, all these things that the politicians have tossed in the bin mill pretending to you that you live in a democracy. You don't, you never have, and you never will. I mean, if you're only waking up in 2020, like, I've known the democracy's been fake for 32 years, since 1993, and what was going on before could not have been the democracy that was promised to me, because there was such corrupt influences within, you know, the system as it exists. That includes the media, as well as the governments that they install, you know, to such extent that it wouldn't have been possible for the democracy I was promised to even be happening. And as for like human rights and stuff like that, and by human rights I don't mean the right to be gay, you know, I have to, you know, bend around all the sort of propaganda that you've been fed. Like when I was younger, human rights and crimes against humanity, this was sort of things that were of concern to people that were fighting a war against Nazi Germany, where people were genocided during peacetime before the war even broke out. The media has basically twisted people's minds, and now when people just speak the way that they ought to speak about what the reality is, there aren't that many people who are inured by the media who will denounce. That's a conspiracy theory. Some of the people who are denouncing, saying that's a conspiracy theory, are themselves conspirators who are well aware that it's no theory, because they are directly involved in these crimes against humanity. So you've been living in a very authoritarian world for all your life. But the authoritarians do not want to acknowledge their associations with, Darth Vader, the bad guy in Harry Potter, you know, these iconic characters within our culture, you know, King Herod, Pharaoh, you know, they don't want to be associated with the evil people in our world. And they misrepresent themselves as being the good guys, and those who are opposed to them, those who are speaking out, well, we're just the evil guys, we're the nutty conspiracy theorists, the people that they need you to hate and ignore so you can't hear what others have got to say about what these people are actually like. So, carrying on through there, you know, I'm not a nutty conspiracy theorist, but that's what I would be called by the tyrannical regime, the authoritarians. You live in a world that's composed of. So there was a guy from ancient Iran, ancient Persia, Ahura Mazda. He described it as we're living in a situation of. Sorry, it was Zoroaster. He described Ahura Mazda as the situation that we live in. There are forces of evil within our world, and there are forces of good within our world. If a good person needs to basically threaten someone with a gun to get them to do their bidding, and the person who's being threatened has engaged in no harm whatsoever, well, that's the situation that exists between the state and the population every single day. You know, there's in Britain, the police aren't like armed. You do get armed police. But as a general rule, they're armed with not firearms, but tasers and clubs and various, you know, weapons of violence. That's not of a military scale level violence. But people are so terrified of the police state, which, you know, you might think, oh, but George Orwell, no, this is going way back to Massachusetts in like 1800 or something like that. That the police were invented. A police state is basically a system that is so totalitarian that they need like a gang of armed thugs to basically walk about and enforce their political policies on the population who would never go along with it naturally. But being threatened by the police state, they're compelled to even tell their children lies about the nature of the system that they're living in. Now, there's people who say, well, the police are the good guys, you know, and it's like, well, hold on just a wee second. Like, a policeman's just a human being. I mean, I'm talking about policemen here, I'm using it as a metaphor for like, the civil service, you know, I'm using it for all these officials of government, you know, but the policeman is the most prominent example of it. Someone threatens violence against someone who disobeys state policy. When it comes to them, you know, catching real criminals, people who commit victimful crimes as opposed to the victimless crimes that their fines and forfeitures, which are quite against the Magna Carta, which is supposed to be a founding document of common law jurisdictions, but you know, it's been thrown in the bin a long time ago, you know. So there's a lot of victimless crimes, you know. It's like pay a fine because you disobeyed the masters. You're not living in a democracy. You are not the masters of this system. It's a hierarchical system that lies to you, that somehow you get a say over who the media is going to present to you as people you can vote for and have any hope that they're ever going to get elected. So that's why there's only like two parties, the Red Party and the Blue Party. You can vote left, you can vote right, and you can get caught up in it, but it doesn't matter who you vote for. The people that run these puppets are the media corporations, and the media corporations themselves internally have like the people that write the teleprompters. I mean, the anchor man that reads the teleprompters wouldn't spend the time a day with you, but you know, you believe the anchor man on television more than you believe members of your own family saying, let's see what's being reported there in the media. I was there and that's not what happened. And you might say, well, that's your opinion. But the opinion of everybody is that it's not, and the opinion of everybody is basically dictated, not so much by the anchor man, but the person writing the teleprompter, who's even more powerful than the anchor man, who's more powerful than the people you get to, you know, choose between at election time, who are more powerful than, well, they're not as powerful as the civil service. You don't elect the chief policeman, you don't elect the chief civil servant of a government department. You know, these people are never elected. The only people that get elected are people who are going to, you know, be in line with them and pretend that they're going to fix things, and they never ever do. That's something that you'll notice as time goes by. The politicians make promises that they never honour, and the same thing continues from one generation to the next. And things get worse. You know, we were not living with, you know, apps that track our location, track who we're talking to, etc. These spyware, espionage. When I was younger, was considered like a crime, like a wrongdoing that you could commit. I'm sure it's somewhere in the statute books that it's a crime to commit. The government is now doing that on a conveyor belt level, you know, that they're doing it, you know, mass manufactured surveillance against their own domestic citizen. This is espionage. It's a tactic of warfare that is being conducted by the government against you. And me, and all of us. there are people who, you know, ought to know right from wrong. You know, you wouldn't need a statute to tell you that spying on people is wrong. For the governments who are supposed to be protecting us from crime, engaged in these crimes against ostensibly innocent people, able to do fishing expeditions on anybody that they want. This is like quite serious wrongdoings, not only because it's like spying on people, but the government itself is engaged in it. And there are people who ought to know better, they ought to know right from wrong. But it's more conducive to them to align themselves with these power brokers, because they're not seeking to live in a harmonious world. They're seeking to live in a world where they have power over their fellow human beings. So you've been living in a very authoritarian world, so strict. They don't just enslave your body, they enslave your mind, so you don't even realise that your body's being enslaved. When you go to work, two-thirds of your labour is stolen from you by way of the monetary system and taxation. It's all very complicated, you know. It's too, you know, you see these boring talking heads on TV going on about the monetary system and stocks and shares, and I'll just put it quite simply. I need food and shelter in order to live. In order to get food and shelter in order to live, I need a job. In order to get a job, I need to pay taxes to the system. So before I get any, you know, the first, you know, if I work for one day, right, the first two-thirds of that day is spent in taxes. And you might think that can't be right because it's only like 20% income tax or something like that. That's the officially acknowledged tax. There is also, like, if I've got £100 and I'm your employer, right, I give £100 towards having someone work for me, right? But the government says, no, 13.8% of that, this is in Britain, it will be different in each country, but it's roughly the same idea. The government says, no, you need to pay national insurance contributions for your employee. So straight away, 13.8% that I would get goes to the government of that £100 that the employer had set aside for me, right? So I basically get what's left, 86.2% of what was originally intended for me. And you know, once it's, you know, written on my paycheck how much income that I have received, 8% is taken on employees' national insurance contributions, and 20% is taken out in income tax. That's 28%. Now, you'd remember that the 13.8% of employers' national insurance contributions is leaving 86.2%. So the 8%, the 28% of income tax and employees' national insurance contributions is 28% of the 86.2%. So you know, if you calculate it in terms of what the employee gets to see, the 13.8% taken by the employer is an actual, it's like 20% tax on the employee's wages when he finally gets to see them. Because the 8% and the 20% is taken off the 88%. So you're maybe working out about, you know, so I'm trying to calculate 28% in my head. So when you take out of the equation, you know, the 13.8% employer's tax before you even see your wages, not even touch your wages, but see them. And then, you know, once you get to see them, there's other national insurance taxes, there's other income taxes. For the 28%, that you're left with like 72% of 86% of your wages. And that kind of works out that you actually get 62% of what the employer originally set aside to pay you. And the government gets 38% of that. And that's, you've got money in the bank. The government's money, the government that prints money out of thin air, is in the bank that you can access if the bank itself has not decided to, you know, bail in. Because you get things like bailouts. Well, there's a thing called bail-ins where basically some governments are basically stealing the money of people that have got money in the bank in order to fund their luxurious lifestyles, the people that, the whole structure of things, you know, the people at the top living in luxury, the people that uphold their luxuries, what would be relative luxury, and the people just, you know, living normal lives having to pay 34% of their wages to the government. And that's not the end of it, because you know, in order to you know, buy anything, like if you're having to pay petrol to get to work, if you're having to pay for MOTs, government regulations and various different, you've got other, you know, government fees that you have to pay out of the wages that you've got left. You've got a 20% sales tax when you're buying food. And, you know, the person that's you're renting your home, your house from is, you know, they're being charged taxes as well. So the amount of money that I estimate your average person, a normal person, has left of the labour that they've done is about a third, 33% is my guess. You know, it's complicated because it's made deliberately complicated. They don't just say, oh, it's a... I mean, if you're talking about like 66% of the time, all the sort of national insurances and you know, when you get to see your wages in the bank as opposed to on a pay slip with all the deductions involved, you know, they don't just say, oh, it's a 33% tax. You know, they say, no, it's a 20% tax, but it's much more than that. And they don't even include sales tax and the various getting to work costs that are involved. You don't get expenses accounts, etc. You're being enslaved by a system. And that system portrays to you a system of slavery which might never have existed. And that is what the transatlantic slave trade, or the Hebrew slavery, where there was men in chains being whipped by people. Take away the physicality of the whips and consider the threat of that whip, if it's the threat of starvation. Consider the chain saying, though, you need a job, but you don't want to pay taxes to a system that's enslaving you, but you need a job, but you, these are the chains that you're wearing. These are the whips that are pulled against you. They can ruin your life, and they can do it in ways that's all legalised by a system that has no democratic legitimacy whatsoever. So for the rest of this audio cast, I'm going to be doing a thing called praying to the devil. So there's a whole bunch of people within our world who are authoritarians. They have joined at the hip with the system to enslave you and me, my brothers and sisters. And they'd like to pretend to be of us, for us, with us. But they would denounce their ability to speak to one another what the truth of that system is. The whole heinous practices that went on in the Industrial Revolution, the Highland Clearances in Scotland, you know, those things are still going on. If you set up your own, you know, freehold without, you know, approval of the overlords, your crops will be burnt and you'll be pushed out your home. The Highland Clearances are still continuing because people are no longer doing it, because that's what the system is doing to them. Does not mean to say that it's not going on when you know the same practices still exist. You know, the official story is denied by those people who are aligned with the system, and they get the most to say. They're the people who are represented by the media. You know, the big brave cops, as opposed to the cops that are not going to, like, you know, if they see somebody with a gun or something like that, well, it's somebody else's job, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of stuff that the police won't tackle. Catching criminals is one of them. We, you know, when it comes to someone, you know, violating the political policies of, like, speed cameras, for example, very early forms of state surveillance, they'll come and they'll demand £200 of your labour from you. And their currency is corrupt as well. With that currency, 100 years ago, almost to this year, you know, that 1925, what people had in their pocket was something of value. It was gold, it was silver. And they decided that, you know, that people had to put their gold and silver into the bank, and the banks would just issue paper notes, and it was to be accepted as the same as gold and silver. Now they just manufacture that out of thin air. People are given money that the state manufactures out of thin air, if they're lucky, and if they're unlucky, they get to starve to death in the rain and the gutter that they've been pushed into by a society that is deliberately creating problems for the poor, that's conducted by the authoritarians who would denounce like my ability to even speak to you and your ability to even hear my perspective of what's going on. Because the truth is a threat to the system. That system requires the slavery and the Highland clearances in order to continue. I mean, there are people even just speaking about the situation, that to them is a danger, and they're pretending they're there to protect free speech. Bullshit. So the truth can't be spoken too loudly in the circles where authoritarians gather, and authoritarians will always be like, "Oh no, no, I'm trying to do the right thing from the inside," you know, but they never do. You always end up coming across some sort of like, "So what have you actually did? Like, are you sacrificing yourself to destroy this system that's destroying us?" So no, no, I'm taking it very carefully because they've all got their, you know, while they're collecting the money, that gives them special privileges to buy your labour, ultimately for free if they're working for the system. Those people don't want you to know what they're doing to your children. They don't want you to know what they've did to them. They don't even want to know what it is they're involved in. You know, if you were a fan of Star Wars, they're equivalent of stormtroopers walking about the Death Star. It intends for death and punishment to all who disobey the regime. As for simple morals like right and wrong, these people don't even care. But it's not the way they're misrepresented on their television networks. And they would have you believe that's the truth. So I'm going to be doing a thing called Speaking to the Devil here. And the Speaking to the Devil is, if you recognise what the devil is in this context, I'm going to be speaking to those people. And, you know, if you want to listen to it, it'll be valuable for you. And if you're one of them, I'm addressing you directly, you know what the system is. You know what it's all about. You know that when children are being kidnapped by the state under the guise of protecting vulnerable children from abusive parents, you know that not every single child involved in that is in fact a victim of child abuse, but a victim of some, either a social worker or somebody below a social worker that's convinced a social worker to steal someone's children. Their pride's been affected because a parent is not bound to them low enough. So they get their children stolen, and you know that goes on. And you're involved in the system. You might say, "Well, that's social work services. I don't work for social work services." So maybe you work for the welfare system. And when a person gets sanctioned, you know that person's been starved to death. And you don't quit your job, so what's wrong? And you're in the military then, you know, maybe that's your role, you know. So what is the official story is you're there to protect the sovereignty of a country like the United Kingdom, which surrendered its sovereignty to the European Union. Are you going to defend our human rights while suicide clinics are being pushed by the BBC? When is the military going to involve themselves in arresting, putting, you know, court-martialing the various people in the BBC, promoting genocide and homosexuality? And as for all these people who are saying it's the Jews, is that not like a massive distraction considering it's the government? You know, so if you're in the military, there is nothing worth defending. You can go on your expansionist warfare, but go there yourself, you know. Don't sit there and try and gather children to support your cause. That's recruiting child soldiers, an international human rights violation since, you know, the end of World War II. And you're going along with that system. So don't sit there and tell me you're doing anything but protecting your own arse if you're in the military. It's the same with the police. You know that the vast bulk of what you're doing is chasing people for victimless crimes. And the circumstances where there's a victim for crime, it's very, very rare that you're ever going to get them justice. And you see all the propaganda on television saying, "Oh, the police always get their man, etc." And you know the truth of it. And yet you don't. You know, quit your job. What's wrong with you? You know what the system is doing to the domestic population of the UK, particularly the ones who are outspoken about how corrupt the system you work for is. And as for the ones who are not outspoken, you know, the ones that are like, are aware of it, who are compelled to silence, that are fear of the terror that the system inflicts upon us every single day, that's what you work for. And if you're a politician, all the promises that you made that you never fulfil, and it's all, you can always blame someone else for it, but these are not legally binding promises. because it was a legally binding promise, so then you'd be able to sue these politicians for not fulfilling their gratuitous obligations when they made these promises, but that they're not legally binding. But the things that these politicians are making up to call the law, some of it, you know, quite controversial to what used to be the moral law. You know, you don't hand a knife to a person that's suicidal. That's ancient. Simple right and wrong would tell you that, but you're working for a system that's trying to promote that. What's wrong with you? You know, you would classify anybody but yourself as mentally ill. Your own group of people are criminally insane. Imagine that was... imagine Russia invaded, right? Because that's a big fear that's being promoted in the media. Russia invades. And, you know, the new Russian system is now doing unto you what you were doing unto your own people. Why should your own people give a shit? Because you did that to us, and now the Russians are doing it to you. It might not be the Russians, maybe be the Americans, you know, maybe some other regime. We already know the realities of, you know, we know you better than you know yourself, because what you're going to do is you're going to side up with the Russians. You're going to side up with the new powers that be in order to make your own life sweeter while telling this story of how you're only trying to do your best from the inside, when the actual reality is you couldn't give a shit about anyone. If you had a moral compass, you would not be working for the system. The system that's still involved in the Highland Clearances, the system that's still involved in all these ancient feudalistic corruptions that have been concealed from view, but you know the truth of it. If I was to go to the Highlands, build a house in the middle of nowhere out of the natural things and started growing my crops, people like yourself would come along and say, you're not allowed to do that. You don't have a license, you need a grant from government, you need money, money, money that the system creates out of thin air, gives to people like you to impose your abuse against people like me. Ordinary people who are not part of the system. Ordinary people being robbed every day by the system. Ordinary people could have their children stolen by the system. Ordinary people who can be the victim of so many crimes, officially and internationally declared to be crimes, that's being committed openly by your system, and you haven't quit your job. And that system was pushing Nuremberg Code violations. I know you don't want to believe that. I know you don't want that to be spoken. But you didn't quit your job, and you're still working in the system. And, you know, if you're not unaware, if you don't even know what the Nuremberg Code is, you're not literate enough to even understand that. Your head is so messed up that you're not even capable of reading it for fear that, well, actually, it might lead me to a very guilty place and a very depressing place. I want to be happy, happy, happy. Well, you're mass murdering the people in your society. So, no, you are not our people. You are the terrorists. You have not supported right and wrong your whole life. You know, there are people that joined the system, you know, and it's like, well, I heard it was a good thing. You know, I heard that these are the good guys. And then they've seen it for the inside and it's like, no, I'm disgusted by that, I'm quitting. But you're still working in the system. And you're going to pretend to the world that you're the good guys. And the people that are being censored, and the people who are being propagandised against are the bad guys. And, or they'll simply say, oh, we must support the Russians, you know. Their new enemy, you know. Our enemy is a domestic enemy that operates within government, that's enslaving humanity, stealing people's children, committing crimes against humanity, destroying ancient, traditional, sacred beliefs, deleting reality, and what is it they say? History's written by the winners. You know, if anything has got to, you know, propaganda, well, that's basically the regime that you uphold every time you work. And why don't you quit? I hear I'm faced with starvation in a very short period of time. Now, it could be because I'm a political dissident, you know, somehow I supported the Russians or I supported some... No, the simple fact was I supported British people, so that they would not be subject to fake democracy, so that they would not be subject to suicide clinics, so that they would not be subject to surveillance cameras and the COVID tracking APs, so that they would not be subject to Nuremberg Code violations. I loved my people, but you wanted power over them. So I'm going to stop praying to the devil. And as for you guys who are aware of what it is that I'm addressing here, these people are not capable of love. They don't, they love power. And the official story is that, no, no, we're the good guys, we're only seeking power to do right for others, the people who are less fortunate than us that have sold out humanity to get this power. They have no love for anything. And when you know, maybe you've been in a situation where you haven't been wearing a seatbelt, you know, you've committed a victimless crime. And the cop decides, like, I'll overlook it on this occasion. Because you've been kind of nice to him, you know, you've not been, you know, how dare you, like, abuse me, you know, you've been kind of nice, you've been very diplomatic towards just a random human being. We know legitimacy of authority whatsoever. He's wearing a police costume for a regime that's completely no legitimate democracy. Highland clearance is still in effect, or somebody working in the system, a random human being, has walked up to you, threatened you with, what, the you know, £200 of your labour. You know, when you look at the rate of tax of like 66% once you're paid for sales tax and stuff like that, that £200, you know, the minimum wage is roughly about £10. It's over that, it's about £12 just now, but we'll say £10 for easy maths. That £200 fine, he's threatening you with this random human being wearing a police costume with weapons to threaten you for disobeying state policies, and you've never even threatened to harm anyone. This is like a seatbelt victimless crime. No possibility that anybody could be victimised by your behaviour. It's a £200 fine. Is the, when you consider the taxes that you would have to pay to get that £200, it's like a £600 fine. You know, in terms of how much wages would have to go, how many hours would you have to, you know, that's over 60 hours work. That'd be like, you know, if you're talking about 12, you know, the minimum wage. 60 hours work for not wearing a seatbelt. Forced labour. And they say that's outlawed. Is it? No, no, it's a very sophisticated concealment of practices that have gone on in history. And people claiming they're mentally well, claiming they don't realise anything like that, can't put two and two together, can't even read the Nuremberg Code for the guilt that is within their hearts. I claim they don't notice it, and that you're mentally ill for seeing it for what it actually is. Forced labour. And you might have came across a situation where the cop's like, I'm going to overlook it on this occasion. You might think, oh, that's good, that's a nice cop. That's a guy that threatened you just by approaching your vehicle, or approaching the situation you were in with this victimless crime thing. That's a guy that threatened you. You had to be really nice to him. And he's been nice enough not to, you know, sort of like, hi there, I'm going to punch you in the face. I've decided I'm not going to punch you in the face. I'm just a random punter. With no legitimate authority whatsoever. I'm just a random punter. I'm going to punch you in the face. And I decide to not punch you in the face. Would you say I'm a good guy? Would you say I've been nice there? Yeah, I could have been nastier, but I've been nasty right from the outset. Well, that's what the system is. That's the sort of people who are in it. They do this on a regular basis, and they've been indoctrinating you from the cradle to convince you that that sort of behaviour is good behaviour. That sort of behaviour is evil. Simple. And there's people that ought to know right from wrong who obviously don't when they're joined at the hip with the system. Now, fair dues, there are people who join the system, you know, blindly believing the shit on TV until they see it for themselves and they quit. It's a different story from someone who sees it for themselves and decides just to go along with it anyway. Because it's a nicer life for them. As for their friends, neighbours and countrymen, fuck them. I've got a nice life and I'll look good. But as for the truth, you know, when all the lies are dispelled, when the propaganda's gone away, when nobody believes the BBC anymore, what do they look like? Dirty, ugly bastards. Jesus speaks about this. I don't want to go into religion, but maybe I should speak about V, that movie, for the 1980s, about, you know, reptilians coming to Earth. You know, there are some people that have got a very humane exterior, but inside them, they are reptilian, they're venomous creatures. And they're very plausible. And it's hard to identify who's who, but I guarantee, you know, if that's someone that's been in the system for a while, working for the system, you know, the military, the police, it's not some temporary job that they got last year. You know, they've had time to decide whether they're going to, you know, love the system or love the people that the system enslaves. They've decided to love the enslaver. And these people present themselves as, I love the enslaver. for a good cause. What is the good cause? Child rape. Well, you mean child abuse? You mean recruiting child soldiers through television propaganda? Or just sexy children, right? Right, okay. In the Epstein files, that's strictly about wild sex parties in a Caribbean island that might have involved children, and nothing at all to do with vote rigging that led to the January the 6th incident as reported in the court. It's just the shit that's on the media with to believe, because you're the system and you're telling us that we need to believe your shite, your propaganda. It's not ours. We remember, you know, the hate speech against people like me was we are the nutty conspiracy theorists. And that was stuff that your media was doing long before they were coming out with COVIDiots. Because we refused to go along with the Nuremberg Code violations. The amount of stuff that the system has committed, the crimes against humanity has committed against its domestic population is such that it can no longer be concealed. There is awareness of this across all the Russian-speaking countries, like the Cyrillic alphabet countries, including Ukraine. There's knowledge of this across all the American countries. There's knowledge of this in China. That you murdered your own people to enhance your own well-being. And that's, you know, what it is to be, you know, a vaccine pusher, a drugs pusher. And for all prior times, watch out for people smoking weed. They're criminals. People that smoke weed don't push drugs. People that smoke weed would not go to a dealer that pushed drugs. They would go to a dealer that's like, do you have any? Can I have any? And by consent, they would get... It's not a Nuremberg Code violation to deal in cannabis. It's a Nuremberg Code violation to force medical experiments into people's arms. And then claim anyone that says anything different is a nutty conspiracy theorist to be hated and ignored. We're reaching a stage where, you know, the digital ID is coming in. There will no longer be an internet for we the people being hated and ignored. So, you know, they destroyed the internet. And the internet was basically provided in a way that we could communicate with one another worldwide about the realities of what the authoritarians are all about. They've committed crimes against humanity. Now, if I was to, I don't know, grab some wee girl, shag her bum, kinky, titillating, you know. Pretty fucked up if you ask me in the originality when I was hearing the first paedophilia, what is that? You know, I didn't know. But it's entered the popular vernacular where even children are aware of what paedophilia is now, you know. And it's like, it doesn't even add up to its original meaning of the word. It was about filial love for children, not sexual desire for them, which is paedorotica. But, you know, who's concerned about English when you're living with madmen that are not literate enough to read the Nuremberg Code and acknowledge their own crimes against humanity? They're not going to come quietly before the situation can be resolved. Something dramatic is going to have to happen. And the criminals do not want to see this happen. When we discuss things, the criminals do not want us to even discuss it. The criminals want it censored. The criminals want to distract people by sexy children propaganda. There's a whole reality that's been going on. To my knowledge, my full awareness, life experience for 32 years, first 19 years of my life make no sense. And these people committing crimes against humanity with impunity. They've not quit their jobs in the government. I do not shed a tear. These are not my friends, they're not my family, they're not my neighbours. They're people who were committing crimes against me in cahoots. The large corporate body of people committing crimes against me and good people that share my true ethnicity, which is opposed to Nuremberg Code violations, it's opposed to violations of freedom of speech, it's opposed to interference in correspondence. These people are not aligned with our values. They are not our people. Now, there might be birth certificates and government documents claiming that there's some sort of connection, but surely the heart connection comes first. These people have no capacity to love. The only thing they love is power and the lies that they're good people. To tell the truth about them, is something they're trying to destroy. So you're living, you know, in a world that's dominated by authoritarians. And you would never know it, because the lies are that thick. I mean, you're waking up to the lies. They will gaslight you and have you convinced that you're just imagining that the world is the way it is. With all its Highland clearances still going on, the Industrial Revolution, we're being forced into these cities. And it's not a natural circumstance, and you know, if I'm, you know, living in the wild and I know how to light a campfire, and you know, I don't need a clipper lighter because I just have all the natural skills to live as we once would have did before the Industrial Revolution, would have deleted knowledge. And now they're thought that there's a movement that they're wanting to announce called Free Births. This is births that have no connection with the system. A mother just having a child, there's no registered midwife involved. They're denouncing that now because they realise the potential for the people they're trying to genocide to have children outside of the control of the system of slavery. So you see propaganda appearing in the media regarding these authoritarians and what they're really all about. And, you know, despite, you know, you heard me praying to the devil there, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and for all the time I've spoke the truth, told them that, you would reckon that a good and honest person would be like, no, you're mistaken, because this is the, no, it's censorship, it's propaganda, it's distraction, it's dishonest discourse. These people are in a position that they cannot defend, so they prevent conversation about that to the best extent that they can. And that's what you've been living in for the day you were born. Now you're waking up to these authoritarians that are all around you, and that's to say that every cop, every civil servant, every social worker, every midwife, every doctor, anyone that works as a tax collector, that's to say like a big corporate business that's being, you know, it's getting special tax deals, it's getting subsidies, it's getting special government contracts. People directly funded within the government, they're getting their wages as government paychecks. All of these people are under suspicion. And you could presume them innocent till proven guilty, but you see the guilt of the system and they've not walked away from it. And it's not possible to just simply bring these people to trial to determine the extent to which they're guilty. You know, I'm pretty sure there are many cleaners throughout the civil service. What's their job? To empty the bins. And, you know, that would bring them to a trial as well. And go, oh, what's your goal? What did you do? It's to empty the bins. It's like, right, you were associated with an evil organisation that was enslaving people and murdering people. A fine of £1. Is that it? That's it. You're pretty much innocent. Whereas somebody that was making an executive decision, even to the low level, you know, like a person that sanctioned someone on the dole to the point where they were starved to death, that's a person that committed murder. Those people, life imprisonment. These people don't, they people want to go from one generation to the next, murdering their own people and pretending themselves to be the good guys. You know, dole sanctions is not the only way in which people are being silently murdered in this society. I can hardly call it a society. If a society is an association of friends, it's the system that's murdering people. And as for the petty crimes that occur in a situation where 66% of their labours are stolen from them by the system, there is poverty, and the reason for it is not that they're work shy. The reason for it is that the system is robbing them blind. Now, can you imagine before, like Highland clearances and such, like you just get a field? And you grow some cabbages in the field. You need to watch, you know, climate change. You know, that's a big thing now. Well, you can't have peasants walking in the grass now because of climate change, whereas before it was Gerard Winstanley and the diggers movement, way back when Oliver Cromwell was around. Or you can't have peasants walking in the grass because of this excuse. The desire of the peasants to be in a dependency, to a state that restricts their labour, takes the labour and the produce of their labour and gives it back to the peasants in a highly taxed form. And that's what those people are working for, pretending they're doing good. Now imagine before the Highland clearances, you've got this field. You grow some cabbages, your neighbour's growing some carrots. And you know, at the end of the season, you trade some cabbages for carrots, and you've got all the stuff that you need, firewood and the very stuff that the the people round about you would produce, and you would all swap your labours with one another in the form of what you've produced with your labours. No taxation, because it's just a group of friends. Now, consider the situation there. So, it's winter. If you get enough firewood for the winter, great. It's now spring. Right, you better get digging. Start digging and start planting seeds in the soil. Seeds that you collected from last year, plant them in the soil. It's now, another part of it. You know, it's not a big deal to plant seeds. Enough seeds to feed yourself for the rest of the year. You know, it's not like working an 8-hour day, 5 days a week, or even more. You know, there's people that work 12-hour days, 6 days a week. No, it's like maybe you work for 8 hours a day for maybe, 10 days, over to a 2-week period in the spring to plant your seeds. Keep a watchful eye on the crops, but it's not hard work, you know. The summer comes, the summer goes, you're collecting firewood and stuff like that because you know the winter's coming. And then it gets to autumn and it's harvest time. And then you actually need to work for 8 hours a day. For 2 or 3 weeks maybe, collecting all the fruit. And then there's market day when you need to go and, trade the stuff that you produce. Where over the course of a year, you've maybe got, 100 hours of labour, something like that. And you've got everything that you need. And now the Highland clearances are going on, not as a historic footnote, but it's something that's still continuing to this day. Well, the politicians are saying, oh, the end of feudal tenure. Can you leave the manor of the United Kingdom without a passport? It's still continuing, but it's concealed by politicians, people who joined the system to deceive you to the nature of the system that you're living in. You're working for 40 hours a week, 35 hours per week minimum. You're having to pay your own travel to work expenses. You don't need to do that if you're just living in your own field in the middle of nowhere and land that nobody really owns, Apart from the fact that you're growing stuff there, which would have been the natural way of life before the Industrial Revolution. And now you're being taxed into the dirt by people who are demanding that you hand over all your produce to a system. It's taking everybody's produce, taking off 2/3 of that, giving it to their own buddies, allowing you to keep 1/3 and promising you, a pension and welfare. And that promise can end up being unfulfilled. And it's hard to actually get that information out to people who are so enamoured by the authoritarians. That's the reality of the system that you're living in. You have to be aware of that. If you see, so-called journalists in the media being destroyed by acts of war and terrorism, it's not your problem. If you see government officials being destroyed by acts of war and terrorism, and they're all on their television going, you need to support us, otherwise you'll be destroyed. It's them being destroyed, not you. You're the same, no matter what they do. It's their system. There is no connection between, you don't even have a, your vote is meaningless. You can vote for which of their parties that they want, but you can't vote for anything that would actually represent you. The laws are meaningless. The simple moral right and wrong. And when it comes to people committing crimes against humanity, there is no right and wrong. If these people get slaughtered, it's not your problem, it's their problem. That was their choice in life. So don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about the death of murderers. Don't be concerned about the death of those people who thought their lives were so important that it was okay to just turn a blind eye to the system's slavery. So that's what I've got to say. So thanks very much for listening.